Hey, we're here.
We're here.
Look who's arrived.
I've arrived. Thank you for your patience. Hi, Straight. How are you, mate?
I'm doing great, Pete. That's good. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
It's good to see this Crown Zenith box, this Elite Trainer box, is still sitting here unopened, which is good because in the Goa Games factory, there's always a very good chance that this shit doesn't stay unopened for a long time. But as you can see, right, from up in the screen behind us as it rotates through yet more patrons.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so bloody good. And I'm just going to, while we're on the subject, say hello to our patrons. So a big shout out, a huge mammoth monstery. Thank you so much. This is amazing. Huge shout out to our $15 per month patrons. Resonance, Simi Cat, White Monkey. You're all wonderful. Thank you for your generous patronage. To our $12 per month patrons, Gamma, and also Serene Sietzma.
Star Saber.
Star Saber, thank you so much. And to our $8.50 patrons per month, Firestorm and Drifter, we appreciate you all immensely. And of course, being patrons, you're into our monthly prize draw, which this month is this box of bloody goodness, the Crown Zenith Elite Trainer Box. It is beautiful. It's a thing
it
of
is.
Beauty.
And you're not wrong when you're saying that we're lucky it's still not open, because I've been eyeing that off. Every time I've been in the studio, I've gone, I just want to have a sneak peek.
I don't blame you, mate. But you know, whoever wins this out of our patrons is going to just have to do a video and just let us know and show us, which would be really nice. That'd be great.
An unboxing video.
An unboxing video. We could even show it. Our $15 per month patrons, by the way, they get a special one-off annual release of merch. All right? I have seen the early designs. I tell you what, if you like Games for Breakfast, you'll love this design. We're not going to show too much away just yet, but very bloody good. White Monkey in chat, and hello to everybody in chat tonight. Great to have you with us. Pete, you missed the excitement. Stick subscribe for the 427th month in a row. What a bloody legend.
He really is. And it does feel like he's been with us that long. I think it was...
I mean, that's 40-odd years.
It is. Yeah.
If we're being honest.
I'm already feeling old enough. I don't need to feel...
Me too, mate. You know what? We are older gamers. There ain't nothing fucking wrong with that, if I can just say. We play games. We play the games that, you know, everybody enjoys these days. But you know what's good about being an older gamer? That we are lucky enough to have played all of the shit before us because we've been around that long.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And we've seen gaming grow up. Like, can you imagine kids these days just going, oh, I know the latest Xbox, and you don't know where you've come from. And
you have no idea where you came from, mate.
Yeah, seeing, like, well, the last Star Fox was on the Wii U, but seeing that and then going back to the one on the Super Nintendo and going, what the shit is this? That was amazing.
It was huge.
It was so good. The FX graphics chip on the Super Nintendo, man, it was so good.
Hey, you know, having a Nintendo 64 where, you know, the release, the amazing release that came with Donkey Kong Country 64, which was to take the bloody the memory pack out of the front of it, and I'm talking about the console, and slip in this brand new memory pack and increase the fucking power of the 64.
So bloody
hectic.
Good.
Gamey Game Face, hi, and seeing Resonance. Oh my god, see Resonance.
He's one of our patrons, and he's also subbing on Twitch.
Yep, you're a
How
wonderful human being.
So bloody
thank
good.
You so much. We love you. Gaming on a 386 PC from Fat Gamer 1975.
Oh my god,
you're our boy.
Love
you
it,
are
love
our
it.
Boy, Fat. You know where it's at.
Yeah.
Can I just say, just quickly,
sure.
Right, guys, become a patron. Okay, great benefits. We give you the shout outs. We spin you on the television. I have already sorted out the giveaway for next month. If you like Lego...
I like Lego. Can I be a patron?
I know you like Lego. No, you can't be a patron, I'm sorry, because you're already a patron. You give so much of your time to this great organisation.
That is true.
If you love Lego, oh my God, you're in for a treat for what you could possibly win next month. And by the way, it's the 22nd of March, so I think next Wednesday is when we'll draw the Elite Trainer Box.
Ooh.
So... keep an eye out for it.
So you've still got a bit of time. You've got a week to get in and become a Patreon to win this Elite Trainer Box.
White Monkey loves Lego.
Yeah.
You asked me how I was.
Mm.
You know what? I'm not great.
No?
If I'm honest, I'm not great, and I don't mind saying it out loud. Tell me how many viewers we've got on Twitch right now.
We have...
How many concurrents?
Hang on. Let me... I don't have enough screens for all the information.
What have we got? 11 concurrent viewers. 11 people. Now, I'm just going to say thank you so much to the 11 of you that are with us. We love you, and you're with us just about every week. Mm. Get some more people in this fucking room to see this beautiful thing that we put together every week.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Clip the shit out of this. I don't care that I'm swearing. Go and find some of your fucking friends and bring them in, because we have gaming goodness up the wazoo and we want to put it up their kazoo tonight. Go and do it. Share this shit out. Tell them to come and hang out. Tell them to come and watch a real show. A real game show.
That actually plays games.
The Go A Game Show on a Wednesday night. Get it up here. Anyway, what are we talking about tonight?
We were talking about you weren't feeling particularly well today.
No, I'm feeling all right.
No? You didn't, you know, you haven't done any extracurricular activities that may have strained something a little bit? Yeah?
Yeah. Well, if I have a heart attack tonight, I'll need you to call an ambulance. Because I'm feeling a bit tight up here. I'm feeling a bit tight through my shoulder. I don't know if it's heart attack worthy. But it's probably because I've been wrestling.
You've been wrestling? Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Is that with, what's
EPW?
Yeah.
Explosive Pro Wrestling, which are a Perth mob.
Oh.
I've started wrestling training.
Yeah. How's that been working out?
It's been so good. Yeah. It's been so much fun. I've posted videos on my Instagram at PD Perth if you want to see it. But I'm having an absolute ball, and I've been learning break falls and somersaults, and we're starting to talk about entrance music and videos and all that sort of stuff.
I've got to ask, what are you leaning towards for your entrance music?
I'm not entirely sure yet.
No?
To be honest with you, I'm really not. I mean, I don't mind "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey.
Yeah.
You don't stop believing.
Yeah, no, I can see you doing that.
Thank you, Tidge. Thank you, Tidget. Good to see you, brother. What's your WWE name going to be? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe... we were tossing out maybe it's The Dad.
The Dad,
The Dad. Because people know me as a dad, right?
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe The Dad. And my my finishing move is either going to be Sweet Dreams or The Nighty Night. Right, and it's either going to
it's be the 99.
It's surely. Either going to be a sidewalk slam with a rock, right? Rock-a-bye baby, or it's going to be an epic move into a sleeper hold, right? For the 99 or the Sweet Dreams. So we'll see. I don't know. We're having a chat. It's a bit of a laugh and all this sort of, you know. Gamma, that's not a bad suggestion, by Gamma. That's Amore.
I was trying to think of like dad rock sort of songs.
Dad rock.
Yeah. Dad so like rock. I'm thinking things like a little bit earlier than the Kansas area, maybe like you know the band America. They did "Horse with No Name."
Yeah.
So something along those kind of lines.
Yeah. With a horse with no name, it feels good to be out of the rain. The Eagles. What about Cat Stevens?
Well, I mean, Cats in the Cradle.
Yeah, the Cats in the Cradle.
Rocking.
Coming out. The Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, and I'm coming out the bloody Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon. Be pretty cool, Daddy Cool.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, that's Eagle Rock.
Yeah. I'd have to drop me pants.
That's
I'd have
it.
To drop me pants from the start to the finish.
It's cool. We do love a bit of wrestling here, and we cannot wait. If you're following on our Twitter at the moment, we actually have a competition going right now.
Yeah.
Where you can win a copy of WWE 2K23. Not WWF. I got excited one day. WWF came knocking on my door, and it took
World Wildlife.
I know. I was very disappointed when I found that.
The only issue that I have with WWE 2K23 is that they said that there's somebody on the front cover, but you can't see him.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just nobody on there. I think we should.
He's invisible.
Yeah.
Some guy called John Cena.
Let's have a look.
See
if you guys can see anything. Like, I can't see anything there. I can just see the text.
I can only see like, retweet, and reply with your hot WrestleMania prediction. Reply with hashtag Goa2K23. Yeah. And I can't see, like, there's a big space next to all of that writing. But there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's an interesting design choice by 2K.
Maybe they
2K.
Fucked up with the green screen. I don't know.
Maybe
John Cena guy, he wears like a zoot suit with all, you know, and it's all green, and they fucked it. I don't know.
Anyway, definitely jump onto our Twitter, Game on Oz, right there. like and share the post and reply with your hot WrestleMania prediction. I was talking with Natty about this earlier on, and I reckon my WrestleMania prediction would be The Undertaker coming out of retirement and just dropping from the top of a cage onto a whole heap of people and taking them all out.
Could you imagine? Yeah, you're right, Tidge. I will be the cover of 2K24. except it's going to be called OK24.
That's right.
Because that's about as far as my wrestling career will be. Just OK. Yeah, cool. This is a wicked giveaway, and a big thanks to the legends at 2K who support us so much, 2KANZ. Thank you so much for supporting us and for giving us the stuff to give away. So
unreal.
That's great.
So we should talk some game news.
Let's talk some game news. Yeah, we are a little bit later on going to be playing a game. Aussie Broadband, thank you so much, legends, for jumping on board as you do every week and signed on with us again for 2023 with the bloody good game of the week. Work in progress, that title. Yeah, that'll happen a little bit later on in the show. But what's floating around, mate?
So, bit games tangentially thing happening here. You may have seen earlier in the week, tickets for PAX have gone on sale. So I'm very excited. I know, I've got my early bird ticket. I've got my 3-day pass. Now all I need to do is convince work to give me the time off and get the money to buy a ticket,
That's the hard part, isn't it?
And accommodation.
Do you get a badge? Do you get a badge with your 3-day pass?
You get a 3-day badge.
3-day badge.
Yeah, yeah. And they also have released for those that do streaming and are in the media as well. They've got media and creator badge applications as well, so you can jump in and get those. But
it's so funny seeing people like jump on Twitter. I've seen a lot of people jump on Twitter as creators and go, I'm going for my creator badge. Wish me luck. That's cool and everything, but good luck to you all. Go and get that creator badge and go and have some fucking fun as a creator. It's a special thing to walk around PAX as it is, but when you're walking around PAX as like you've got that creator swag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and the badges are different colors, so you can tell straight away if someone's media or someone's creator. Yeah.
And he's like, you're a creator? I'm a creator. We're creators. Create some shit. Go and create some shit. Don't be a creator who just goes to PAX and is just a person who walks around. You may as well have just bought a 3-day pass. Go be a creator and create some shit. You know who creates good stuff at PAX?
We do.
Jerdman.
Oh yes, Jerdman does.
Jerdman's really good. He live streams the shit out of PAX. Anyway.
But it's going to be fun. Goa went last year. We had a panel that we were on. We had our meetup as well, community meetup there. It was just so much good fun and cannot wait to see what PAX this year brings.
I was really surprised by how many people rocked up to the community meetup.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I was surprised by how many people from Perth rocked up for that meetup.
Yes, absolutely. it was really nice to have the team together there. Like a lot of us from the Goa Core Content team went. And we all had breakfast, which was really nice, on a Saturday together. That was
so good.
That was so good. But the thing is, like, I'd love to do that stuff with as many people who are in our community as possible. So, get along, guys. It'd be great to see you.
Maybe we could do a pre-PAX event.
Pre-PAX.
Must have a bit of a think about that.
We will.
But yeah, so if you're interested, go and grab your PAX ticket. I did think I saw something about how they've sold 25% of the total allocation of 3-day badges already, and it only opened yesterday.
I think that's bullshit.
I don't.
I think that's absolute bullshit. I think it's the biggest load of horse shit. They all say that. Oh, we're 75% sold out. Get fucked. You're not 75% sold out.
No, they're 25% sold out.
Oh, we're 25% sold out. Get fucked. You're not 25% sold out.
No, I can believe it, because the people that want the 3-day passes are the people that have been planning to go to PAX since the PAX finished. I think these are the people that are very keen, like myself.
I'm one of those people. As soon as we sort of finished up, hey Drifter, as soon as we finished up, last year it was like, fuck yeah, can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
Hey White Monkey, sorry about your sickly pale monkey on the screen.
If anybody wants to send us through some high res images of a photo or an avatar that they want, we will replace them, because this is. Quick and dirty, I've taken a screen capture of your Discord avatar.
So quick and dirty.
Yeah.
So quick and dirty. Mm-hmm. Just how you like it.
Oh, yeah. Drifter, thank you as well for that sub. 13 months, I think. from the look at the screen? I had to look a little bit.
12 months.
12 months.
12 months, maybe a whole year. Hey. Happy anniversary, Woo. Drifter. Let's go.
Cool. So that's cool. Looking forward to seeing everybody at PAX. What else I'm looking forward to, because I'm very excited about this.
You've been frothing this.
Mate, I'm a Star Wars nerd. Like, I used to do a YouTube series called Star Wars Playtime. I'd go back and play all the Star Wars games. So I love them. And, like, Fallen Order in particular was such a surprise because you've got to remember where Star Wars games were at that time, because we just had two very shit Battlefront games that had just come out.
Were they very shit?
At the beginning, they were.
I don't know.
The first Battlefront game was the game that has caused companies to outlaw, countries to outlaw loot boxes.
Yes, I will give.
That's how shit they were.
We all remember the most downvoted Reddit post in history at one stage, which was from EA themselves, responding to all of that stuff.
I
had a lot of fun.
I had some fun with them as well, but they were just purely multiplayer games, and that's all we got. Like, EA spent at how many billions of dollars to get that 10-year contract, and in the end, what they pull out? Three games, two Battlefronts and Fallen Order.
Yeah, well, for that, yes, I completely agree with you. I refuse to throw the baby out with the bathwater about the Battlefront games, because I liked them. We had a lot of fun. You know what was the only thing that really tilted me in those games?
What?
Is that it makes sense if you think about Star Wars and the universe and canon, right? But in the game, they needed to balance the special characters better. Like, seriously, if you were Darth Vader, you're just running around fucking chopping people with your lightsaber. And you could go from no kills to 50 kills and top the leaderboard for the game.
Yeah.
You know, while you had Darth Vader. And I was like, this irks me, because I do think they needed to balance those characters out better. Mm-hmm. One thing I really think Battlefront 2 did incredibly well was jumping into a TIE fighter or an X-Wing.
Yeah, see, I didn't do that very much in the game.
I spent so much time doing it.
Here's a question for you as well. Did you play the OG Battlefront games?
No.
Yeah, see, I did. I remember I played so much of the OG Battlefront 2, and it was so much better than what those were.
So even why it's now, good to be an older gamer? Yeah, what do you mean they were so? Why were they so much better?
The maps were better. It was instead of having like these loadouts that you had to get from loot boxes and shit like that, you had your classes. There was like your normal trooper, your sniper-y type trooper, an engineer class that could fix vehicles and give out some health if they needed to. And then each faction had its own special class as well. So the clone troopers had like a jetpack trooper who could fly around. The Empire had Dark Forces trooper that could do like big jumps.
Sounds like a fatter game.
It was just a much nicer game. And one of the great things they did with it, because I think there was some like third party map building tools with the OG Battlefront, but with Battlefront 2 they released a full blown map editor. So there was a community that was around it that built a lot of maps for it.
Did they have godlike characters? Like, did they have your Darth Vaders and your Luke
Skywalkers? The Battlefront 2 did. The first one didn't. But like, to my mind, they weren't super overpowered. They were just fun to play. And like, what's the mode? There was like an Ewok killing mode where. You played as like one stormtrooper against like 50 million Ewoks.
So is that like a horde mode?
Yeah.
They had a horde mode in the game. But against the Ewoks.
That was great fun, though.
I mean, it was so good. No, I would go, that's so sad.
Yeah.
That makes me feel so sad. The Ewoks are so cute.
Yeah.
I used to watch the cartoons when I was a kid. Remember the Ewok cartoons?
I do. I remember the droids cartoon as well.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I remember the holiday special, but we won't talk too much about
that. Now all I can think about is those Ewoks getting killed in droves.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You could also kill Gungans as well, which was probably slightly more cathartic.
Slightly more cathartic, yeah.
But anyway, so that, getting back to Fallen Order, where we were, we've had these two heavily multiplayer-focused games, and then out of nowhere, we get Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
This amazing sort of Dark Souls light story-driven Star Wars game. And it was so much fun. And look, and even looking back on it now, you go, yeah, it was a great Star Wars game. As a game itself, you would have said it was a good game, but as a Star Wars fan, it was a great Star Wars game. Mm. And just the combat in it and how everything flowed, and oh my God, the ending.
Don't spoil it, because I haven't finished the game.
Yeah.
But I played a lot of it. I played hours and hours and hours of it. You know what I love the most about it?
What?
Puzzles.
Yes.
I was a big fan of puzzles. Yeah. Like a Star Wars game, once you throw in the history and the canon and all of the powerful tools that you can with the, you know, like your lightsabers and the Force and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's great, right? But most Star Wars games have been, here is your tool set, go and attack that shit and go over there. Whereas the thing that I loved about this game was going through ancient ruins using your powers to solve puzzles.
Yep.
It really fattened out the game for me.
And I remember not long after the Fallen Order had come out, there was a statement from someone, I forget who it was, that basically called it the Jedi Fallen Order franchise. And we've gone, yes, we're getting a sequel. And then when Jedi Survivor was announced, it just looks really, really good.
So are you going to roll tape on
this? We're gonna show the trailer. But yeah, it is so cool. That's probably a bit loud. Hang on. It's going to bring that down a bit. But yeah, it looks amazing still. A lot of the combat looks a little bit similar. But then there's some other bits too. Like there's a bit in the trailer where Cal Kestis picks up one of the stormtroopers, holds him out the front and uses him as like a human shield.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Because I'm also picking up from this trailer that like Cal is taking a little bit of a darker turn. So it does feel a little bit like he may be leaning towards the dark side of the Force.
No, not Cal.
Yeah. Well, I think it needed, like, my enjoyment from the first game, like Cal was a pretty bland
protagonist. Yeah, there wasn't much to him.
Yeah, but I love the Night Sister Meryn. She was really cool. And the second sister, who was the main bad guy in it for most of it until right at the end.
Tidget says, I feel like it's just the same shit over and over. And
you're probably not wrong.
It's a series, right? Yeah. Like you're not wrong. It is the same shit over and over, but so's everything that's a series of something, right? Like The Legend of Zelda is the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
There's always a grappling hook. There's always a Hylian shield. There's always plucking the Master Sword, right? Now, but I think if you're a fan, it's the next best thing. Getting a sequel to a game that you really enjoyed, as long as they do it right, is the next best thing to going back and just playing one of your favorite games again.
And I think when you're doing a sequel, especially one where the combat was as tight and as enjoyable as what Fallen Order was, more of the same isn't necessarily a bad thing. And particularly, like, and they've made some changes, some different Force powers by the look of it. And it also looks like you can have a companion in it, because the trailer showed the Night Sister Meryn fighting with you at some point.
Yep.
So that's really cool. I do like seeing that. And the story as well, from the smidgens that we're getting in the trailer, just sounds cool. Like it's 5 years after Fallen Order, and it looks cool.
I got to admit, so Tidge says, from a non-diehard perspective, it doesn't sell anything that grabs you. So interesting point, right? And valid point. I am not a diehard Star Wars game person, okay? Not, certainly not to the degree that you are.
Should see my bookcase at home.
Oh, your bookcase is stacked. But I love great game mechanics, deep story. I do like an origin story, but deep story. And bringing those game mechanics around for exploration and adventure and puzzle solving. Mm-hmm. And this ticks a lot of those points for me. You know, the Star Wars Fallen Order. What was the first game?
Fallen Order.
Thank you. Yeah. Star Wars Fallen Order. See, that's how much of a non-fan I am. Yeah. Star Wars Fallen Order was not a game I was going to get.
Yeah.
But it was a game that I came across because I was bored one day and I wanted just something different, right? And I hadn't played a Star Wars game for a while and some people were talking about it, so I got it and I played it for hours because it turned out to be a really, really good game. Crash Team Rumble got a pre-ordered trailer today following the release date. That's what White Monkey's saying. Mm. And we'll revisit that later on in the podcast. Mm. Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's okay. But like just everything about Survivor, I'm excited for. Mm. I cannot wait to get it. And oh, I'm just seeing 28th of April. Oh, no. I'm going to be in Melbourne for DreamHack.
Oh, no. Oh,
sorry, I'm not going to DreamHack anymore.
Poor thing.
I'm not going to DreamHack. I'm staying home and playing Jedi Survivor.
Imagine if this was like if Star Wars Jedi Survivor turned out to be a crossover with Star Wars Jedi and Survivor, the Channel 10 series of a group of people on the island. And then what we ended up getting was Han Solo, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and a handful of others all on an island competing in Survivor.
I would be keen. Like, actually, there was a TV show that was being made by the guys who did Robot Chicken, Seth Green and Matt Senreich, I think it is, called Star Wars Detours. And it got to the point it was pretty much ready to go, and then Disney bought Star Wars, and it never saw the light of day.
Oh no!
But it looked amazing because it was like that sort of sketch comedy with the Star Wars.
Well,
characters.
So Star Wars Star Wars Chicken. So Robot Chicken did Star Wars. They did heaps of Star Wars skits.
There was like three or four Star Wars specials.
There was so many great Star Wars specials and all sorts of shit. It was really, really good. That's really disappointing to hear that that's why.
Yeah, it was almost ready to air and Disney bought Star Wars.
You know what's really interesting about that though, right? Robot Chicken, MODOK.
Yes.
Okay. On Disney.
Yes.
Okay, which is, I mean, it's on Star, but it's on Disney, right? Was basically Marvel Robot Chicken.
Yeah, pretty much. And Tidget, you are right. Like, that concept we were coming up with is like Total Drama Island or Drawn Together.
I've never heard of Drawn Together.
Drawn Together is where they took, like, a heap of cartoon stereotypes. Like, there was a Betty Boop character that wasn't Betty Boop, that was all black and white, but it was all, like, that reality TV sort of a vibe.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was cool. And Total Drama Island is another sort of piss take of
Total
Survivor.
Total Drama Island.
Yeah. It was good. But MODOK, Patton Oswalt was the voice of MODOK. And that was really cool as well.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
But very excited to see Jedi Survivor and hope that it lives up to the hype.
So do I. I hope it's not a shit show.
Yep.
Starfield's going to be.
Yeah. Or Forspoken.
Did
you hear about?
No. What about Forspoken? Hang on, wait. Before we get to that, people were pissed at me for retweeting. Remember when the launch trailer came out for Starfield?
Yeah.
Right. It was like a couple of weeks ago, and I quote tweeted it and said, "Imagine if this comes out, this game is shit."
You know what?
I copped a few cheeky DMs for that.
Did you?
Yep.
But you know
Maps, Star Wars, Mr. Mumble. Oh. We can't say Mr. Mumble without we can't say hello to you without mumbling.
Hello, Mr. Mumble. Hello, Mr. Mumble.
You know, the only problem with Math Star Wars is there is not a lot of female characters in
Star Wars.
That's
a very good point. Yeah.
Or can you imagine setting Padme up with somebody that's not Anakin and what happened there?
Well, really, it can't be Math Star Wars. It's got to be the Bachelorette Star Wars.
Oh, yes.
Because then you've got something to play with. Mm. I mean, you know. Luke kissed his sister, so
that'll be the first episode of Math Star Wars.
Everything's on the table. Anyway,
I honestly, Starfield looks great. I don't want to play it.
Oh, interesting.
No, I think part of it gets back. Talking about getting older as gamers again as well, and I've noticed my playing habits have really changed over the last couple of years, where I would rather play a 6-hour indie game that's got a really solid concept and be done with it than have to sink 50, 60, 70, 80, upwards of 100 hours into a game.
It's one of those ones, isn't it, where if you don't keep up, you'll lose motivation for it quick, I reckon. Alpine Wolf, Farmer Wants a Wife, the game, which is basically Red Dead Redemption 2. It's basically Red Dead Redemption 2, right? Like, except, you know, you're not doing all the other shit, but it is. It's Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. White Monkey, that's the only time I'd probably play Starfield is when it comes to Game Pass.
Yeah, okay.
And I'd give it a shot, and then I'd put it down. I did the same thing with... Actually, no, because I bought the first Horizon game, and I got about halfway into it and went, I'm bored with this now. Yeah. And not that it wasn't fun. There was just a few things in it. Like, the game... It felt like the game wanted you to be really stealthy, but then didn't give you all the proper tools to be stealthy. And,
you know what? Why I stopped playing Horizon, the first one, was because too many side quests and places to explore. Mm. And it took me so far off track that eventually other games came out and I started playing those. And then I came back to Horizon Zero Dawn and was like, fuck, what do I do again?
Yeah.
But I couldn't be stuffed learning everything again.
Yeah.
If anything, I've learnt it all by playing Horizon Forbidden West. Yeah. And I haven't finished the first one. But hey, here's a cheeky hack for you guys. If you want to finish a game without having to finish it, you just wait for the sequel and then you roll the cinematic for the what happened up until this point. And you basically get the entire fucking 100 hours of a game in 60 seconds. It's fantastic.
And if the game doesn't have that, then I'm sure somebody on YouTube's put it up.
Yeah.
Get a recap that way. Diablo 4 thoughts. The only thought I have is that it is a game and it had a closed beta last weekend and an open beta this weekend.
I found out today that Straight is not a fan of Diablo.
It's not that... And I'm only not a fan because...
And I'm not saying that as really in how dare it. You.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
Just, no, I'm and, just curious.
I know, but I would just like to clarify that it's not that it's because I don't like it. It's just it's a game series that I haven't picked up before. Yeah?
Diablo was one of my firsts. I love Diablo.
Yeah.
I do love Diablo. I love Diablo when you're getting smacked by hordes.
Yeah.
And you just get so fucking powerful that you tear strips off everyone. That's what I really enjoyed about it. Like looting dungeons and all that sort of stuff is great. I didn't get a chance to play the closed beta over the weekend, but we did a huge giveaway of the closed beta codes, and that popped. One of the codes we had, so we had four codes. One of the codes we had one for each platform, and then one went to our writer, Arl Entrick.
Mm.
And Arl Entrick played the closed beta, and he's actually going to pair his thoughts with the closed beta with the full game.
Mm.
And then he's going to reveal it all in his review of Diablo 4, which will be on GameAndOz.com around launch time.
Mm. Yeah, so, that's... Like, it looks like a great game. It looks like it'd be fun to play, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't have the time in my day to sink in 50, 60, 70 hours into a game. Or if I do, it has to be a pretty gosh darn special game.
We're going to be... old age for us is going to be fucking wicked. You know what I mean? Like, when we're 65... retirement age will probably be like 80 by then.
Yeah.
But when we're 65 and we've got nothing to do... And we can just spend all of our time just catching up all on these fucking games.
I'm picturing it because, like, Dad retired a few years ago and Mum said, oh, you reckon you could, like, spare a game console for him? So I gave him my GameCube and a heap of games to go with it. And, like, he said, oh, I don't think it's working properly. And me and my sister were around there one day and we played a game and, like, it was Mario Kart, I think it was, Double Dash. And, we were just having fun and everything was working fine. And I think Dad kind of got... a little bit upset that we were showing him up at this game and he gave it back after that. I'm with you there. I will go. Retirement will be amazing because there will be so many games that we can catch up on playing.
Oh, shit. Tidget's got a baby arriving any day.
Oh, damn.
Tidget. Congratulations, Tidget. A little boy.
Oh,
wow. That's so cool. Wonderful news. Love it when bloody Goa community has this kind of news. That's fucking fantastic. Congratulations, brother. That's awesome. Oh, wow.
It does, as Gamey Game Face there, it does kind of put a crimp on your gaming.
Yeah, it really does. I was a 6 hour a night, six stack, consistent, competitive Overwatch player. Until my first daughter was born. And then once Mueller came along, that was it. Had to give it up. Tried playing with her like in my lap and stuff like that, and just couldn't stick with it. So, WoW rating cops a hit.
Yeah.
If you're a Destiny player, your rating there is going to cop a hit. Goodbye to that stuff. But it's a season, okay? Yeah. As a dad, it is a season. Those times pass, and eventually your kids get to the age where they like you can have your games back and shit. Yeah. So
and just wait till
and they play with
enough.
You. Yeah, that's it. The thing.
And they start playing with you.
That's the coolest part. Like right now, myself and my two daughters, we're all playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, nice.
And we've all got a character, and I think my character's up at like level 30 odd or whatever. And both the girls are slowly building their characters. They've both got level 10, level 11 characters, and they're doing the main quests and the side quests and all of that sort of stuff, and having an absolute ball. Yeah, absolute
ball.
That's cool. Mr. Mumble,
congratulations for one more year, Mr. Mumble. Congratulations, Mr. Mumble.
I do have to say, Hogwarts Legacy, I think the most fun I had in that game was at the beginning when you were exploring the school.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm having an absolute ball with Hogwarts Legacy. Mm-hmm. I am. There's all the history around the issues with regards to the game and J.K. Rowling and so on and so forth. Just plain and simple, taking that out of it for a moment, it's a fantastic game and I'm having an absolute ball playing it. And you know what? Sometimes you sort of look at your kids who are so far removed from all of the hard stuff that life brings to a lot of things that are just meant to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're simply playing it because they're enjoying it and they have no idea about what's going on around the world with regards to that stuff. And I envy them in a way sometimes that they can be, they can be in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always have a laugh at the people that say, oh, why do games / comics / movies / TV shows need to be so political these days? They weren't in my day. And they go, yes, they were. You just didn't notice because you were too young.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, fuck, we played Red Alert.
Mm.
Red Alert was literally the Russians versus the Americans.
Mm.
It was literally a game of what was happening, but nobody ever heard about it because it was all happening behind closed doors.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
There's plenty of that
and
shit
throughout
history.
And it wasn't
history.
Spoken about as openly as
exactly,
it is today.
Exactly, exactly. What a game though, Tidge.
What a fucking game.
What a game.
How do you reckon like a game like Command & Conquer would go with stuff like the AI things that we're seeing coming out these days?
What do you mean?
Like how do you reckon that... I kind of remember the developers of Command & Conquer, but how they may have used AI as a tool to maybe write some of... You think they might have taken that and instead of having like the full motion video that they've got where they've paid the actors to get in and do stuff, you think they might have...
I don't know. Today's day and age, like the cinematics are all animated, right? They're actors acting in a studio being filmed and shot, but
Westwood Studios, thank you, Tidget.
I don't know how that might have played into it. I think if anything, maybe if, you know, we got a Command & Conquer 2023 game... then all the themes that we grew up with Command & Conquer would stay, but we'd just see a lot more updated shit in it to reflect the times. Like AI probably wouldn't be about AI creating the cinematics for the game. It would be AI is in the game because they're reflecting society now. Yeah.
I only asked because there was something that Inferno, OG legend of Goa as well.
OG!
He put in our Discord that apparently Ubisoft is starting to use AI to write dialogue for some of their NPCs. You know? And I think it's an interesting debate because I think AI as a tool is a brilliant thing. And I think in this case, I don't mind this. I don't mind with getting them to say, just write me some stuff about what this NPC is going to say.
I've got no problem with it.
Yeah.
It's NPCs.
Yeah.
NPCs say one or two lines when you come across them in the middle of a field somewhere. Yeah. I got no issue with it whatsoever. And at the end of the day, I mean, if it's helping to keep their costs down and that's not coming back on us, then more's the better. The technology's there. You may as well use it.
Exactly.
And I think regardless of whether we have an issue with it or not, the technology's there and they're going to use it, and the technology's only going to get better. Mm. And we're digital people, we're digital natives, so you're just going to have to deal with it, and that's it. Get on with it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, so Command and Conquer, Red Alert 2, Actors, because Tidget said in chat that parents would have said something if they knew he was playing it. Now,
that's also probably true. Although I think from parents, it may have been a more sort of a snide comment. Like, you remember when the movie Shrek came out?
Yep.
And it was just so full of those double entendres, and all the kids there were going, oh, you know, Shrek saying, oh, there are those who think little of him, and you're going, oh, that's because Lord Farquaad's short, you know?
It's Lord Farquaad.
Yeah. And he's short, and going, oh, maybe they're thinking something else about that. There's an adult sense of humour.
I remember my dad walking in to me playing Command & Conquer Red Alert 2, and Tanya was on the screen.
I don't know.
That's Tanya.
Cool. Yep. No, I can see that. Yep.
All right. If you can, like, we'll show Tanya. Go to Tanya, Command and Conquer, Red Alert 2, Kari Wura.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I know her.
And he was like, what game is this? Because, I mean...
Did he start playing games after that?
No. He was a Peach. He was more of a Peach fan. And he... you know, like, I... God, how old was I? I was, like, in year 7, maybe, or year 8 when this came out. So I'm just starting to get interested in girls and stuff. And there it is, like, Tanya.
For those
we'll show it on screen now. There's Tanya. Yeah. Tanya spent the entire time in a halter top looking incredibly attractive. GTA loading screens, Tidget, absolutely. Need for Speed Underground 2 loading screens, Alpine Wolf.
Are you sure this is a racing game?
The SmackDown loading screens on PS1. I mean, just going back to that, like, even thinking about the SmackDown and Raw is War that we used to watch.
Mm.
And watch bloody bikini matches and Trish Stratus and Deborah and shit like that. And what they used to do on those shows. Jerry the King Lawler yelling out puppies. Oh, let's see the puppies on his ringside going, give us the puppies. Like, you know what I mean? I'm a Jesus Christ. Plenty of stuff from when we were kids. That, God, it's all a little bit tighter now.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, your Red Alert had the full motion, like, actual proper film.
Yeah, scenes, absolutely.
Whereas you look at something like Lara Croft and Bea Orchard from Killer Instinct. Like,
yep.
You remember, you know, teenagers frothing over them, and you look at them now and go, like, everything is so pointy, and it's just like, cool, okay.
Polygon boobs.
Yeah, that's it.
First time chat from Mozzie DL. Say you. What's up, brother? Welcome, or lady? We're not entirely sure. Or non-binary. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever you do, you boo. But feel free to let us know. But welcome to the chat. Welcome to the show.
You know what I think it's time for?
What's it time for?
I think it's time for some games.
Well, what time is it? It's 7:35 in the West.
Yeah.
That gives us about 10-15 minutes to muck around with some games. So I think that's so good. What are we playing tonight?
We're going to be playing, thanks to Aussie Broadband for a bloody good game of the week.
Yeah.
As I play with the headphones to get them on. We're going to be playing Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon. So... Have you played the Bayonetta games before?
I've mucked around with it. I am not au fait with the Bayonetta games. Mm-hmm. I know they've got a huge fan base. Mm-hmm. I know they're great games.
They are a lot of fun. A lot of really good hack and slash fun. This game is not that. So when they made this game, they've taken a back seat a bit to it all. And
are we going to pop this up on the screen?
I was going to finish doing my intro first.
Oh, sorry, mate. I'll shut my mouth. Sorry, my apologies.
It also lets me get into the actual game, you know,
yep, rather absolutely.
Than going through the loading screen. But it's more kind of a puzzly game, although it does have some pretty unique content. So for those that don't know the lore of Bayonetta, Cereza is Bayonetta. And this game you're playing as a young Cerezo, and you team up with a demon called Cheshire, as you go and you're trying to rescue your mum. So that's Aussie Broadband. So thank you again to Aussie Broadband. So you can
see Aussie Broadband.
So for most of the time you're running around, you're holding on to your little Cheshire demon.
And Cheshire then, demon.
Yeah, that's, and then you can call him out and you also control him. So at the moment I'm using the right thumbstick to control the demon and the left thumbstick to control Cereza.
So Tidja just said, I saw the trailer for it and then I was like, that's Bayonetta? What does he mean by that?
So Bayonetta, I always have loved it because it's very classy, very very sexually charged as well.
Yeah, I must admit, I have seen a lot of the Bayonetta characters.
Yeah, I don't want to go that way. I'm not sure which way I'm going at the moment. So it is very different to what Bayonetta is.
Okay.
And so where
are you now?
So I'm about 90 minutes to 2 hours into the game, and you're basically going through the forest to try and rescue your mum.
Okay. And I love my mum.
Yeah, so do I.
You should love your mum. Your mum's a ripper. She's a lovely lady.
She is very lovely. They're in Bali at the moment. It was their wedding anniversary the other day. Aww. So mum and dad.
Happy wedding anniversary.
So Tidget, I will say the art style is still very much on point with the Bayonetta stuff. It is good. It does remind me a little bit. There was a game on the DS that I loved called The World Ends With You. And it was a dual control game where you kind of tried to control on the top screen with your buttons and the bottom screen with your stylus.
Okay.
And that's kind of what it feels like. And it does feel a little bit weird at first, White Monkey, when you're controlling the two different characters. But it does, like the way the combat is really cool. And even like when you're holding on to Cheshire, you can put him out so he grabs things. So like at the moment I've grabbed this leaf thing and you can jump across. You can also, I don't think it's going to let me, can I jump up there? I cannot jump up there. Here we go. Here's where I need to go. But you can also, there's certain parts, so when there's a certain area that Bayonetta can go through but Cheshire can't, and Cheshire can go through some areas that Bayonetta can't. So you separate and you solve some puzzles as well. So, but the combat in it has just felt really cool because Bayonetta's got this ability, kind of like a little bit like Witch Time, if you've ever played the proper Bayonetta games, and you basically bind an enemy in place. So you can bind an enemy and then Cheshire can come in and just wreck them. And it's been such a cool little find so far. Like, I'm really enjoying it and I'm trying to work out where to go. So I'm following these blue wolf footprints. Because I have to destroy some elemental barrier.
Maybe if you go back the other way, back across, right? Shift over to shift over to that, and then can you go to the edge of this to the left and hook across?
You've played video games before, haven't you?
I've played video games before. Yeah. It's mind blowing. I've played a few in my time. Mm.
So, and you come, there's a lot of things that you collect and you craft a few things. So like these little bits on the ground, and you'll see that red circle that's glowing. It means it wants me to do this. And mm-hmm. then there's a little bit of a mini game where you just have to push the stick in the direction of the little white crescent things. Okay, and you get some more crafting stuff. But we're just going to keep following the wolf. See if we can get to some combat. Oh, well, this is new. I haven't seen these before. Okay.
These are, they're just laser beams that are interrupting your path, right? So, well, what is that?
Yep. So, the fairies control the forest. And so, you're trying to sneak through the forest and not incur the wrath of the fairies. Okay. So let's have a look. Where? Oh, ooh.
This is a beautiful game.
It is. Like, the artwork in it is beautiful. It's just what you would expect from a Bayonetta title.
Is this a bit lighter for you know, in terms of the artwork? What's the word for it? It doesn't feel as dark. Bayonetta is traditionally quite a dark series. Or, you know, in Bayonetta games, is there?
So,
All right, here we go, combat.
So we call out this, and then I will lock him in, and then I can just wail on him and move Bayonetta around.
That's really interesting that you're playing co-op, but by yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. But then,
so right now, you're using Bayonetta to hold him in place, and then Cheshire is attacking.
Yep.
Does Bayonetta have attacks? Do you always have to use Cheshire?
Cheshire is the stuffed toys name that Bayonetta has, and then she summoned a demon and inhabited Cheshire, toys.
So who hasn't?
It's
right?
Cheshire, yeah.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. So Bayonetta does have, so like when the bit that I put out to grab the jump point, this has some stunning capabilities that I've unlocked through upgrades.
Yep.
But for the most part, Bayonetta is magical and not so much attacking.
Yep, okay.
Okay, so this is the white wolf that we're supposed to be following. So these guys are attacking him, and now we're coming in to rescue. This is a bit of a cutscene at the moment. I will say as well, like, there's voice acting in it, and the voice acting is pretty good so far.
God, it's a bit Breath of the Wild, isn't it?
I think that's kind of like the cell shading.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the cell shading kind of artwork.
So
but they have managed to put their own spin on it.
Yeah, and it is very, like I said, it's very cool. And if you were paying attention there, I held one down and then with Bayonetta and used Cheshire to then attack two at the same time and just managed to get them in a stun lock. It's very different to a Bayonetta game, but it is
Cheshire, you cheeky devil.
It's a lot of fun.
We've already been playing this game for 10 minutes. Can you believe that?
I can. Like, you can get lost in this, and it's just, like I said, it's a lot of fun, and can highly recommend it. My review will be coming up on GameOnOz.com, hopefully by the weekend. I can just highly recommend it as a game. It's just cool. It's got a bit of challenging combat, but it's just cute. It's fun. The art style is good. The sound design and music in it is really cool as well. Can't recommend it enough.
Nicely done.
But yeah, thank you to Aussie Broadband for our bloody good game of the week.
Let me muck around with it.
Oh, hang on.
Let me have a go.
Wrong one. Come on, let me go there.
Do this to me.
All right. So press the start button. Let's Pete have a go.
Oh, no, I was meant to actually stand on that thing. Now it's up in the air and it's puffed off. That's right. Tree's growing and it's going to drop another one. All right, so here we go. I'm standing on it and now I'm jumping off the ledge. Thank you, Ozzy, you bloody legends. The grass is all wet and slippery. Well, that happens. You know, it's been raining. It's winter.
That's it. And you're in a fairy forest.
I mean, tell me, what fairy forest have you ever been to where the grass isn't wet and slippery?
So those tree root looking things over there can be broken by Cheshire. There you go, you bring him out and...
Oh shit.
Cheshire's health is... He does run out of health eventually, but you need right trigger to attack. Yeah.
Oh, that's a key bind that I'd have to change. Yeah. Because you have to press right shoulder to bring it... Oh, you only have to tap right shoulder.
Oh, you tap right shoulder to bring him out, and then once he's out, and then
okay.
This guy shoots, so, there we go.
Go and get him, Cheshire.
And if you get close to an enemy, hold down left trigger as Bayonetta, and that'll lock him into place.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, this actually doesn't feel all that alien.
Yeah, like
this feels quite good.
When I first saw it, it was just like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like this, but... The way it plays and what Bayonetta and Cheshire do is really quite unique.
Yeah.
So it does really work out well.
I think they've done a good job of like maintaining Sand Defender Spriggan, who we're taking on right now, maintaining like a really good. Hang on, I'm just going to bring out Cheshire and have a go.
So I'm going to guess you need to lock him down with Bayonetta, and then attack with Cheshire from behind.
All right.
So it takes a little while to get there. And now he's down.
Around. We're behind him now because he's got a giant shield, and we're smacking him. Okay, so we've done Thornbind.
And now he was knocked down. So the enemies do get stunned. And Bayonetta also has a cooldown on her magic. So that red circle you see next to her after she's used her magic, that's the cooldown on her magic.
It would take a lot. God, it's quite something when you have to manage both Bayonetta and Cheshire in terms of not letting them get attacked. It's, funnily enough, it's the controlling characters equivalent of being in a bullet hell game.
Yeah.
honestly, because like I'm currently getting attacked on two fronts here and having to control two players while I'm doing it. So that's really interesting. Yep.
One of the tactics I started using was I'd use the witch roots to lock down an enemy and then send Cheshire to attack the other one.
Yep.
So I didn't have to worry about that particular enemy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but exactly. But combat also comes in spurts like that.
Yep.
So now you're free to solve the puzzle or just walk around and explore. And yeah, it's a very cool game, and I'm very very interested in it, and I'm having a lot of fun. So all these funky colours,
Dispel Illusion.
Yeah, all these funky colours are now because you've entered the Fey realm. And you'll get to an end bit where...
Like I just did? There's a box here.
Quiet.
Oh, no, hang on.
Yeah, so the treasure chest will be... so you can't open it from here. But usually you'll get into an area like this and you'll traverse through and you'll stop something. And then this area will lighten up and you'll be able to do other things, so...
White Monkey, I am a natural gamer. I'm just going to throw it out there. Born for it. Born this way, baby. Did I see you do this before where Cheshire smashed that? No?
Not a gate like that. So there'll be something. If you want to bring Cheshire back in, you can tap the L button and
there you go.
Come back in. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. So how do I get... through this thing.
I think if you head upwards a little bit in that area, you might find...
You might find something new.
You might find something a little bit different, a little bit unusual. So can you use Cheshire to get rid of that, maybe?
Let's have a look. There you come, Cheshire. No, he doesn't do shit. Cheshire ain't doing shit. He ain't care. Yeah, Gamey Gameface, I agree with you. The watercolour painting... I don't know if you're much of a Transformers fan, but Transformers have released a series of toys called Shattered Glass.
Oh!
And they are variants. They're variant colours on all of the Transformers, the Autobots and Decepticons. And they're very much like this. They actually remind me a lot of this sort of art style. It's very cool.
Oh, nice.
Maybe we call it a night, because otherwise I'm going to be running around here and poor White Monkey is struggling and needs to get some shut-eye, as I imagine a lot of people who are watching this do. I'll jump out of here. You too? Mate, me too. I've got wrestling training tomorrow, so
cool.
I need to be plumb.
But that is Bayonetta Origins, Syriza and the Lost Demon. Thank you, Aussie Broadband, because that is our bloody good game of the week.
Appreciate it, Aussie Broadband, and appreciate you. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. We've talked about a lot of things. Don't forget as well, if you want to get in the running for this Elite Trainer Box, jump on, sign up our Patreon, exclamation support in chat, and you should be able to get the link for that. And also, don't forget, if you're not a Patreon, you can also jump on our Twitter, and like and retweet and leave a comment on the post to win a copy of WWE 2K23 as well.
Yeah, big shout out again to our patrons, Resonance, Gamma, Simi, White Monkey, Firestorm, Drifter, Star Saber. Really appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Thank you so much for dipping into your pockets and supporting Game on Australia through being patrons. It is very, very much appreciated. One of you will win that next week. We'll draw that next week. And then if you're a fan of Lego, that is, it's a very special coming together of prizes. I'm going to say prizes, all right? There's actually going to be a bit of a stack for somebody to win next month who are in our Patreon. So very, very cool.
See that.
Okay. It's been fun, man. Have a great week and a great weekend, everybody. The new Lord of the Rings Lego. Oh no, God. It's not the new Lord of the Rings Lego. I will say that now. But it's good. I think it's good.
You'll have to watch next week and find out what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will let you know. Jim, always a pleasure, brother.
Always a pleasure. And remember, don't forget to save.
Don't forget to save.
I remembered this week. Woo!
Bye.